Welcome to the Title Town Times, where we bring you everything coming out of 1265 Lombardi. We got a bit of a big episode for you guys. It's going to be a two-game recap, so bear with us here. My name is Nicholas Fargo, and with me is my co-host, Robert Martin.
What's going on, Packer Nation? How's it going?
How's it going, everybody? We are 6-1 right now, and our next game is against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, and it's kind of up in the air whether Patrick Mahomes will play or not. Personally, I think it's just some mind games that Andy Reid is playing, but we'll see.
Yeah, he was a limited participant in practice, as I understand, and who knows what that practice entailed. Is it a walkthrough, and how much did he do? I understand.
Exactly. Again, I think it could be definitely be some mental warfare that Andy Reid is trying to wage on us.
Yeah, it's in my mind probably smoke and mirrors. It's more likely we're going to see. We'll see soon enough.
For sure. But anyways, going back to these last two games, I'm glad that we're recapping two games because even though they were both wins, it felt like the offense was just on a different level from the Detroit game to the Oakland game. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, higher off. Detroit, though, yeah, I tip my to that defense. They fly around, especially you know, on their defensive line. They got a lot better with Flowers, that's for sure. He's a load.
For sure. And speaking of Flowers, a lot of Lions fans will probably complain about some holding penalties, but I think we're past that. It's been explained time and time again how Detroit shot themselves in the foot. Even Patricia was talking about that as well.
Yeah, I... You know, the place the ball where it should be. You know, when you get in the red zone five times and you're kicking field goals every single time and you can't punch it in the end zone, it's not going to win games in the NFL. Yes, hands to the face, controversial calls, but at the end of the day, put the ball in the end zone, you're not worried about it.
Exactly. I completely agree. But in that Detroit game, we really saw the wide receivers, except for Alan Lazard at the end, they weren't really stepping up like they should be.
No, it took forever for us to even have a reception from the wide receiver position, I thought. And, you know, you're seeing some other people step up in that game. You know, Jamal Williams surely was a load in that football game. But, yeah, the receivers didn't step up in the Lions. But, man, what a difference the following week.
Yes, exactly. In that Oakland game, we saw Aaron Rodgers play probably one of the best games of his career, if not the best game of his career.
Yeah, and again, it's hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that he ended up with a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3. You think about it, and you're like, in the history of the Green Bay Packers, their storied history, how could it be the only time? Any time that there's an only with the Packers, it's something else.
Yes, and speaking of which, Matt LaFleur is the only Packers head coach to start at 6-1 in his first seven games.
Yeah, he's surely separated himself from the pack with the rest of the first-year coaches. A lot of struggles going on right now. And granted, when you're a first-year coach, most of the time, you know, you're probably inheriting a not-so-talented roster, and you're there for a reason. But Matt LaFleur surely has had a passing grade so far, and let's just keep it going.
I agree completely. But in that Oakland game, it wasn't even just Aaron Rodgers doing those holy crap things. It was just the offense was just in rhythm. Aaron Rodgers didn't have to be Superman. Offense just rolled on its own.
Yeah, and again, some of the people that don't get all the credit in the world are the guys in the trenches again. And what a nice pocket he had. I mean, I can't remember seeing a pocket time and time again. He took a couple hits. Surely he did. Stick to it throws where you're going to get hit. You still have to stick in the pocket, but for the most part, he was clean, and that pocket was phenomenal. My hat's off to the line like no other.
They have been playing so well over the past few games for sure. And that one sack that Oakland had, it was a coverage sack, and Max Crosby, he did what you should never do when facing Aaron Rodgers. He did the belt celebration. Rodgers Rodgers doesn't like when you do that. Something bad is going to happen to the other team when that happens.
You know, it's one of those things where they say, you know, let sleeping dogs lie. It's probably not the best idea to try to show up. Maybe the best quarterback ever to play the game, arguably. It probably isn't the best call. From that moment, it went downhill in a hurry.
For sure. But you have to think, though, without that Derek Carr fumble in the end zone, does this game turn out any differently? Because that was, like, practically right before halftime.
Yeah, you know, and they talk about it being a 21-point swing. I don't go that far because simply I don't think anything that happens, you know, post-halftime really should be attributed to that. One could make the argument it was a huge momentum swing, and I'd surely concur there because the Raiders are going in. Blake Martinez maybe made the play of the game. He never gave up on the play. It surely was a hustle play, and he knocks the ball loose right before, or at least gets the quarterback right before the end zone. When he lunges, the ball goes inside the pylon and a touchback to Green Bay. Obviously, we take the ball down the field. We score that touchdown. You can say that's a 14-point swing, but then other people even talk of the fact that Green Bay got the ball in the second half and then scored. So they're even talking about like a 21-point swing. I won't go that far, but at the end of the day, momentum changer, absolutely.
And once again, this was a game where a little bit of controversy was involved when they were talking about Jake Kumerow on that tightrope run into the end zone. They were wondering if he had stepped out.
And it couldn't have been closer. I mean, when you look at it, I couldn't see definitive evidence that he stepped out of bounds, but it was so close. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I would have had to have lived with it either way. If they had overturned it, I would have said, you know what, he may have stepped out, but it was so close. They didn't have enough to overturn it. And that's just the way it goes.
I agree. I agree completely, for sure. And actually, the run game, while it was quiet, we saw the running backs contribute through the air. And that's what I love about these running backs, because even Jamal Williams, a power running back, so to speak, he has good hands. And that's something that you really got to love about this offense.
When you get your running backs in space and get them the ball through the air like that, it's almost like an extension of the run game. And except for Aaron Jones, I mean, I can't call it that because he went down the seam like a wide receiver, and the adjustment that he made, I mean, some teams struggle to have a running back to be able to catch the football, much less make that kind of adjustment when the ball's mid-flight. That was a stellar play that not many running backs probably make. It was unbelievable.
True, and it kind of makes up for that drop he had in that Detroit game.
Yeah, that would hit him right in the face mask. I mean, it's kind of hard to, it's just kind of hard to explain how somebody can just let that one go, but who knows? I mean, hard to say how that even happened, but it did. We all saw it.
And something that I noticed in that Oakland game, I keep wanting to call them Vegas because of where they're going next year. But something that happened in that Oakland game, I noticed that Alan Lazard was in there far more than Darius Shepherd. And people were wondering whether Darius Shepherd was ever going to get his chance. Well, to me, he got his chance in that Detroit game, and he just literally fumbled it away at one point. And then he bobbled it into the defender's hands at one point in that Detroit game. So, and Lazard came up when he had to. So that just, and Aaron has expressed his confidence in Alan Lazard countless times, including during the preseason.
Yeah, it goes so far to say that Aaron Rodgers even lobbied for Lazard to get some more time in the Detroit game. He literally was almost barking at the sidelines to say, get him in the game. So he does have a lot of confidence. I mean, this guy's a 6'5", you know, kind of a tough frame, kind of a muscle-bound frame. You know, we saw that one ball that he caught near the sideline, and he kind of had that moment where he could have tried to juke and go maybe even out of bounds or whatever, but he kind of put his nose down and just got really, really physical with the DB. You know, it's plays like that that are actually, they tell a story. And there's that little bit of a streak in Lazard that I really like to see. I mean, he knows he's the big man on campus as far as size out there on the island. I mean, he's going to have a lot of cornerbacks that are not as big as he is. And to take him on physically the way he did kind of sent a message to the entire team. I thought it picked us up.
I agree. And it makes you wonder how this guy even went undrafted, because he can run. He's a big framed receiver. And as far as I know, he didn't really have that much injury history at Iowa State.
Yeah,
so.
The thing about Iowa State is he was productive there, too. So I'm kind of shocked that he went undrafted. I mean, it's hard to imagine now when you look at him, because I think he's got a very high ceiling. And if he continues to grow, he's got a great mentor, you'd think, in Davante Adams and things that he can work on, you know, getting off the line of scrimmage and doing some different things like that and learning some of the nuances of the game. Sky's the limit. So maybe we've got a gem there.
Yes, for sure. Now going to the defensive side of the ball in that Oakland game, it wasn't as good as we had pictured it probably. Going into this game, we knew that Tyrell Williams was going to be out. And so we knew that the Raiders would only have Darren Waller, their tight end, or Josh Jacobs to go to, and the Packers failed to contain either of them. And that was surely frustrating for Packer Nation to watch.
It was, and it makes you wonder if we're underestimating a little bit of the absence of Darnell Savage in the back end. I mean, I get that he's a rookie, but from day one, it seems to me like when he's on the field, the communication seems sound, seems like people are where they're supposed to be. Lots of broken coverages against the Raiders, lots of just free tight ends, and it was very frustrating. Just a lot of busted coverages that we really haven't seen, you know, all year long, like quite like that anyway.
Yes, and it makes me wonder why B.J. Goodson is in there on those downs instead of Oren Burks. Because, honestly, while B.J. Goodson is a good run stuffer, at this point in this state of the league, that's not really what you want your linebackers to do anymore. You want them to be able to cover those tight ends or running backs. And Oren Burks, in my opinion, had a better chance of keeping up with Waller than B.J. Goodson.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I kind of thought the same thing as the game was going on. The only rationale I could think of in my head is, you know, bringing Oren back from injury, are they trying to slowly bring him back, or what's the deal? Because surely, if you're talking about pass coverage, it's night and day when you consider the two. Goodson is known not to be a very good coverage linebacker. He's a thumper. And on those running downs, I want him in the football game. But when it comes to covering backs and tight ends, it's a liability. So, yeah, it's interesting.
And it brings up the question of whether Darnell Savage will be back next week. I know that he was in practice today.
Yeah, again, and listening to LaFleur's press conference today, it was it sounded pretty slow paced. I mean, I know it was like almost like a walkthrough. They had like three different 20-minute sessions where they were doing some drills and whatnot. But it was kind of a from the neck up practice, I think LaFleur called it. So a little hard for us to know exactly, you know, what that means. He was out there. I did look at some video that I saw, though, and he looked like he was moving around pretty good. Went up pretty high and caught a pass and whatever, and he came up looking pretty good. So who knows? I mean, I think our defense gets a lot better if he's able to go.
Oh, for sure. It's night and day, pretty much. And we don't know the status of Davante Adams. I know that he was in warm-ups this week, well, today, so it's hard to say how he's recovering from that turf toe.
Yeah, he really is, and, you know, we're not there. We're not in the training room and whatever. I really hope Green Bay, and they will, take every precaution to understand, like, exactly when he's ready, full go, because a turf toe is a funky injury. If he re-aggravates that toe, it could mean, you know, a good chunk of the rest of the year. So I hope that they're smart, because right now we got a good thing going too. So, I mean, the last thing they should do is rush him back. When he's ready, he's ready. He's a threat, and we're better when he's on the field. But I just hope that he's 100% ready to go when they determine that he's up.
Yes, and although it is not fun seeing Devontae not on that field, you got to think, though, this is giving the younger guys an opportunity to have reps in this game, in these games.
Yeah, we're growing. I mean, and, you know, you want your playmakers to have the ball in their hands. But again, the other side gets paid too. So I look for defenses to try to take Devontae away when he does get back. The good news is, just as you described,
Yeah, they stepped up when they needed to. Yeah, they've definitely stepped up when they needed to, for sure.
Can you hear me okay?
Hello?
Yep. Can you hear me okay?
Okay. Yeah, we're good. We're good. Okay. Yeah, I just turned on my Wi-Fi instead of 4G, so hopefully that's more standard. But yeah, like, there were some good things to see in that game. I mean, you always want to see your team win in dominating fashion, but still, there are things that were noticeable that need to be cleaned up.
Yeah, again, you know, the defense, I felt like, I don't think we were as gap sound as we need to be again. You think about down the road, and granted, I get it's a long road, but as things are looking, let's say we do make the Super Bowl. Let's say that happens, and we play a New England or something like that. If you don't stop the run against New England, you have zero chance to win the Super Bowl. And I know that's down the road, and my God, we're talking about a Super Bowl not even halfway through the season. But my point is this: you can't beat good teams in big games if you can't stop the run. We're kind of showing some improvements there, but I still think we're not gap sound right now. We're letting big chunks go, and I don't want to see the defense give up 400 and some yards every single game.
Correct. And you can kind of tell that Kenny Clark isn't 100% right now when it comes to his health right now.
Yeah, he's laboring. I don't know what it exactly is. Do you know? Because he's not himself right now.
I don't know at the moment, but I have heard that he is hurt.
Yeah. It looks like he is. In fact, I know he came out for a good series against the Raiders, and he looked like he was in pain. He ended up re-emerging out there, but he's not the same Kenny Clark that we're used to seeing.
However, I do know that I was just criticizing B.J. Goodson. However, I do want to talk about that goal line stand that the defense did have with Josh Jacobs trying to jump over, but B.J. Goodson was there to deny him of that touchdown.
Yeah, and he wasn't alone. Jaire Alexander got a great hit at his feet as well. Really timed that play well, and I think they met him about the same time because they helicoptered him frame. Great thing, because when they did that, the ball was actually facing the other direction. He didn't have a chance to even come close to the goal line with it. Sometimes those helicopter plays actually don't always help you, if you go the whole way around where the ball is by the goal line. But you're right, Goodson met him up in the air, and Jaire hit him down low about at the same time. They spun him. That was a good play
for sure. And I think that, and also the Kevin King pick with the Adrian Amos assist, if you will, that was also a game that pretty much sealed the game.
Yeah, and you know what? I could not be more happy for the kid. I mean, he's been a scrutinized player simply because he hasn't been available, and that's part of this game. The better players in the league are those that are there every single week to provide their service, and King hasn't been that. So far, and he's another one that's, he's not healthy. He's not completely healthy. He's had a lot of little dings and things, but however, he's found a way to stay on the football field, and good for him, because he's actually reaping some benefit from it. I think he's got 3 picks on the year already.
Yeah, it's definitely an improvement, because I think last year he got his first pick, and I think that was his only interception of the year. And that was against San Francisco.
Yep, absolutely. So he's shown a great deal of improvement in being available as well. So, yeah, it's been a good run for him. I'm glad to see it because, like I said, he's been a scrutinized player.
Yes, definitely. One thing I do want to talk about is the culture that I feel like has been changed with these free agent additions of the Smiths. A local reporter from Green Bay, Lily Zhao, she's on Twitter, and she does the local sports in Green Bay. She goes into the locker room, she talks with the team a lot, and she just notices like a different vibe with the team. They're laughing with each other, they're hanging out in the locker room. It's not just strictly business or anything like that. You gotta wonder like how this has become so night and day.
Well, one thing is they're winning. And I mean, granted, culture, there's different personalities right now, for sure. You can tell the Smiths are a big part of that. I think LaFleur coming in, and I know it sounds trivial, but allowing music, for example, having a little more fun with guys, allowing the celebrations. I mean, when McCarthy coached the team, and again, it's going to sound like I'm throwing him under the bus here, and maybe I am to some degree, you didn't see the team take off for the end zone after a pick or a turnover when they've got that minute celebration, because it was frowned upon. And, in some ways, McCarthy took this, we're professionals and we're going to act like it, kind of attitude, this business-like approach. And maybe that didn't resonate with these younger you know, newer generation of players. And I'm, you know, a little bit of a guess here, but maybe an educated one, because I look at the team now and just the way they act, they're having fun, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
It's night and day for sure. And I agree. I think that was a factor of how the team was faltering these past 2 years. I mean, obviously in 2017, Rodgers getting hurt definitely doesn't help. But just the fact that LaFleur lets these guys have fun, it allows them to grow together as not just teammates, but friends. They're working together, they're playing for each other, and they're celebrating each other's success. You just love to see it.
Yeah, you do. And that's what winners do. I mean, winners, true winners, want their teammates to do well, and they want the best for them in their performance. And it's not about me, it's about we. And it seems to me like they've got that going on. So it's exciting, and it's fun to be a fan, because you can tell that they're a loose bunch. They're dangerous.
One thing I was very disappointed about was, since the Smith brothers didn't get their sack, we didn't get to see that special Halloween themed sack celebration that they were planning on. So hopefully we'll be able to see that this Sunday night.
Yeah, maybe they spoke a little bit too soon. You know, I think the Raiders offensive line played fairly well. I mean, I give them credit. I think they did very well, actually. The sacks come, sometimes they go. So, but for the most part, they've been in the backfield and they've caused havoc, and I don't anticipate that to stop.
Yes, and even though they aren't getting sacks, they're still getting those pressures that force quarterbacks to make mistakes.
Yeah, and that's everything. If you can get that quarterback off the spot, maybe have him release the ball a little bit before he really wants to, I mean, it makes all the difference in the world. And I feel like sacks are a great stat, and people love to gravitate to those, but pressures are equally as important sometimes. And depending upon, like, when it happens in the game, they can be every bit or more important. So we've done that. We've really gotten after the quarterback, been able to have a little push in the pocket, and we got those tears on the outside. The Smith brothers are just, they're crazy.
Yes, they have 13 combined sacks already this year, and that is definitely a lot more than Nick Perry and Clay Matthews had last year.
Yep, Nick Perry and Clay Matthews disappeared, and now we can finally see the fruit of the labor that Goody brought those guys in with. And, you know, I know people hang their hats on the veterans and the known commodity, and, you know, Clay Matthews this, and you know, a good for him. I hope he has success with the Rams, and to this point he has. I know he just broke his jaw and he's on the shelf for a while, but he just wasn't getting it done for Green Bay as of late, and these guys are. So hey, onward.
Yes, for sure. And another fun fact, they both have more sacks than Khalil Mack individually.
That's funny. Yeah, it's something else. I mean, it shows that you sometimes this the sum of the parts is better than the whole. And you look at Khalil Mack, he's got to do a whole lot for that defense in Chicago. We got a lot of playmakers on our side, and I would rather go this route.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. And it also helps to have a competent offense with a competent running game and an actual quarterback. But that's neither here nor there.
Right.
But yes, onward to the Chiefs this Sunday night. Whether or not Matt Moore is the starter, or whether it's Patrick Mahomes, even Rodgers said he wouldn't count out Patrick Mahomes in a interview earlier today. But we still have to take into account that they do have weapons on that offense that Matt Moore can easily get it to. Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins might be back.
Shady McCoy, yeah, still. I mean,
Shady McCoy. And he's kind of had a bit of a resurgence in Kansas City ever since reuniting with Andy Reid. And again, they have Andy Reid, who is very good with scheming an offense and tailoring it to whatever quarterback that he has.
Yeah, you know, with Andy Reid, he's a maestro when it comes to scheme, and he's going to have the Chiefs prepared, and they're going to be able to exploit what we don't do well. There's no question about that. I guess my biggest hope is I don't think the Chiefs' defense is really up to snuff to where the rest of the better teams are in the NFL. So I hope we can take advantage of that. I hope we can control the ball, and maybe our best defense is our offense keeping these drives alive. I know we can do better on defense. I'm a little down on our defense in terms of this yardage allowed, though. And I granted that doesn't always equate to points, but I just feel like the bend but just don't break attitude sometimes is a little scary for me, because I'm kind of wondering when that's going to happen. We've been able to keep them out of the end zone so far, and if it keeps going that way, wonderful. But I just feel like we're rolling the dice a little bit.
A little bit, for sure. And I think Pettine will look at the film from that Oakland game and realize, okay, we need to cover the tight end better. Because even in that Philly game, the tight ends just took our lunch money. And
yeah.
And
that's been historical, the case, too. We just think how many years we've struggled with that stinking tight end. It's been a long time.
Yeah, we haven't been able to keep the middle of the field covered. And I think the solution, or at least an attempt at finding a solution, is simple. You play Oren Burks. You drafted him for this reason. Use him.
Yeah. Yeah, he might be the answer.
Yes, for sure. Or even, I don't know, put Josh Jackson or Chandon Sullivan on him, for sure.
Yeah, and another guy that we have coming back maybe sooner than later is Campbell. And he really showed last year. And I actually think, you could probably argue the other way as well, but I think he's every bit the player Raven Green was. So if he can come back and play the same level he did at the end of the year before he got hurt last year, that's going to be a huge asset to us.
Definitely. We will go more in depth on this game in the coming week. But anyways, Packers are 6-1, standing on top of the NFC North alone by ourselves, and it just feels right.
It feels like the world is back where it belongs. The Packers are on the top. The Vikings, the Bears, the Lions are all looking up at us, baby.
Yes, sir. And hopefully it stays that way. We've got a few weeks until our bye, but for now, let's just keep winning games.
Absolutely. Win these next two, can have a long break after that, get really healthy for the stretch run.
Definitely. So anyways, this has been the Titletown Times, and be sure to tune in Sunday night to watch the Packers take on the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium, and we are signing off.
Go Pack.
Go Pack, go.